My guest says many viewers have a deep hunger for more of God, but settle for the scraps. He says it's time to position yourself for the raging glory revival. Next. I've thought for myself in every area of life, but one, I knew nothing until I discovered a realm where the truth isn't what it seems. A realm where the truth becomes reality. I've spent over 50 years investigating the world of the supernatural. Every moment has led up to the main event. Millions of Jewish people will be saved all over the world. God's heart is for all to believe, for none to perish. It's called the greater glory. Do you believe?
It's supernatural.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. You're our most important guest. Go and flow. Now, my guest, Dr. Norman Bentz, was raised in a Pentecostal home. He had a great hunger for more of God's presence. Tell me about it.
I found one of the greatest things that happened to me was I didn't experience drugs and alcohol. I got saved at an early age. I was 5 years old. But inherent in that upbringing by my parents, I always wanted more of God. Now, I wasn't perfect, but I had a desire on the inside of me for more of God.
Well, okay, so from time to time, you would have experiences with God, but you wanted it to be ongoing.
I couldn't, you know, people talk about a visitation. I didn't want just a visitation, because visitations means God comes and goes. I knew that He was with me. And I knew that because of my upbringing and training, but I also knew there was a manifest presence of God. There was a perfection of His presence that I wanted to be with, and I wanted that to be sustained in my life. And so, knowing all that is where I've come and where I've come from. And I'm excited to be able to share that kind of passion, that when you ask for a passion, when you want the zeal of the Lord, like David says, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. I want that kind of zeal, and I want that kind of passion with the Lord. And I want it to be ongoing, yes.
I do too, and you do too. Well, let me take you back a little so we'll get to know you better.
Okay.
Tell me about your life. At 17.
When I was 17 years old, I was a senior in high school. I remember this to be November, and I won't tell you the year, but I remember it was a November, and I had been dealing with a lot of external pressures about the call of God on my life. And people would ask me, because my brother was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, and I had people all the time asking me, are you going to be a pastor also? I would always say, no, I'm going to be a school teacher. And I said that for years, and I even went into training to be a school teacher. But when I was 17 years old, Holy Spirit came in. It was a Sunday night. And on that Sunday night, I talk about this. I was the featured pianist and the featured soloist, because I was the only pianist and I was the only soloist. And my dad began to preach, and I was sitting in the background on the platform, and Holy Spirit came in. And when He came in, like He is now, when He came in, things changed. Holy Spirit, many people say, is a gentleman. That night, because my will had not lined up with His, He was not necessarily a gentleman. And He came convincingly to me. And I was speaking in tongues on the corner, and my dad was preaching, and I guess I became an interruption. And He turned around and He said to me, what's wrong with you? And I said, and I began to weep and cry, Holy Spirit has called me, and I have said yes. And what was so wonderful about that, my mother He called me down front so that the church could pray for me. He called me down front. My mother was weeping. I mean, it was a wonderful time with Holy Spirit.
I feel it. It's just as you're sharing this, it's almost like the same Holy Spirit that came on you then is being radiated right now.
Right now. I sense His Spirit moving among us, and perhaps there's someone who's been struggling with the call. And you've denied the call of God. But I would say right now, Holy Spirit is calling you and is wooing you into His presence to fulfill His will for your life. And so what was so impactful at that time that got my attention, we had a little lady in our congregation, and she knelt down on the side and she began to pray. And when she began to pray, it's almost like I'm there again. She began to prophesy, and I knew it was God. And I've taken that prophecy with me even to this day and where we are right now, that God's promise and His covenant to me is not fulfilled. It is being fulfilled, and we're in the process of it. And I believe that even being with you today and with our people that are viewing, that God has a covenant for each of us that He wants us to affirm, and He will continue to fulfill that covenant in our lives.
Then in the 1970s, God really started moving in your life. What happened?
In 1974, we received a call to pastor a church in Franklin, Indiana. At that time, Franklin was about 10,000 people. And as Judy and I were moving in, and we were living in what was called a parsonage there, I needed to go to the grocery store. And when I went to the grocery store, I had this surging passion and ownership of the call of God. And I knew God had called me there to win to Him 10,000 people who resided in that little city. And I sensed that, and I drove around the square.
You're talking about the whole city.
Oh, I'm talking about the whole city. Yes, 10,000 people. And I felt God has given them to me. This store is mine. This town is mine. I took ownership of the call of God to be activated right there in Franklin, Indiana. It was a wonderful time. And this was October, and we began to experience immediately a tremendous move of God in our church services. And He came in mightily. And it was a tremendous time when God was adding to us many, many people. I remember one of the businessmen in the little city came to me and says, "What are you doing up there?" I mean, people were parking everywhere. The place was filled. People were hungry for God. And this move of God was so great.
When you say a move of God, would you give us an example, paint a word picture of what is a move of God?
The move of God is when we have opened ourselves up to Him and we're saying, "What you want is more important than what I want." And the Holy Spirit comes in. He comes in His manifest presence. It's not church as usual anymore. Church is highly affected and accentuated because of the work of the Holy Spirit. People were getting saved. People were being touched by Him. And families were being very moved by Him also. It was, in fact, the whole town, what I was told, they took notice of what God was doing at this little church building that the Lord gave us to meet in. And it lasted for probably 8, 9, 10 months.
Why did it stop?
Well, I've asked that question often. It did begin to diminish, and I was disappointed because I wanted Him more. But what I realized years later, I had no mentor. I had no one to teach me how to pastor or steward a move of the Holy Spirit.
You bumped in to this healthy fear of the awesomeness and the magnitude and the majesty of our God in Argentina. What happened?
Well, I was invited to go to Rosario, Argentina, Pastor Norberto Carlini. And on that Sunday night, he invited me to speak to his congregation, and there were probably about 2,000 people in the congregation. And after I spoke, he said, "Now go pray for the people." I'd heard of the Argentine fire, but I'd never experienced it. But on that Sunday night, I began to minister to people. I was laying hands on people. I was doing what I know and what I have seen before. And as I was laying hands on people, people were receiving Holy Spirit. They were falling in the Spirit. They were miraculously touched by God. And I was in the middle of that. And all of a sudden, the reverential fear of God came upon me because His presence was so tangible and so real. I said, God, I think I'm going to die. That's how evident His Spirit was to me. I said, I'm not laying hands on another person. And as I said that, I said, I'm not praying for anyone else. And yet God kept showing up in the lives of people. And I learned a very, very important principle at that point. And that is to honor and to have a reverential fear of God. Not that I'm scared of God. I have deep respect and love.
That's why
for
I said a healthy fear
of
God.
A healthy
the
fear
unhealthy
of God.
Is I don't even want to get close to God because He'll see who I am. The healthy fear of God. When we return, Norman wants to pray that same power of God that he personally experienced in Argentina will come upon you. Be right back.
Do you know God, but hunger for a deeper experience with the Holy Spirit of God? Has God's fire in your life faded or even gone out? Dr. Norman Benz, over a lifetime, found the ancient secrets to hosting the Holy Spirit in your life. Find out for yourself how you can receive and guard your fire and much more in his essential Holy Spirit book and CD set.
Many of us have been settling for less than the manifestations of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God has not been experienced by us. Sometimes it's like we put God and Holy Spirit on a shelf. Sometimes we don't understand the dimensions of who Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit will cause you to confront how you have been in a place where you haven't really been on fire for God. It will create a greater passion in your heart for Him, and you will see the glory of God, and you'll be able to live in the glory of God.
Get ready. Become fearless and contagious in God's next outpouring. Start by calling or go online at sidroth.org/10019 with your donation of $36 or more, free shipping and handling, for Norman Benn's brand new book, When the Holy Spirit Comes Down, Secrets to Hosting the Holy Spirit. Plus, you'll receive his exclusive new 2-CD audio set, Experiencing the Miracles and Wonders of the Holy Spirit.
Father's Day. It seems some great revivals and moves of God have happened on Father's Day. I'm wondering if God's not making an announcement. You want a perfect father? You want a father that'll love you no matter what? Do you want a father that is just but filled with compassion and mercy? Then why don't you look at the Father, Father God? Tell me about the move of God in your life on Father's Day, 1997.
1997, that was about 3-4 years beyond my Argentine experience with the revival fire of Holy Spirit. I didn't know this, but on June 7th, and I'm leading up to June 15th, which was Father's Day on 1997, I went out on a Saturday night, and I was walking my dog, and great things happen when you walk your dog at night.
I wouldn't know, I don't have a dog.
And I looked up into the heavens, and I said, God, because this was 1997, we were coming to the year 2000, and I said, would you make the next 2.5 years exceed the sum cumulative total of my first 50 years?
That's an interesting challenge.
Oh, and he took me up on it. I didn't realize it at the time. But then 8 days later, on Father's Day, we were worshiping We were a good church. We were a Spirit-filled church, but we weren't good enough. And the Holy Spirit had other plans. In the middle of worship, we are worshiping the Lord, and our oldest son is on the platform with the worship team. And something happened that we had not experienced at Covenant before. He fell to the floor, and he began to vibrate, and he was vibrating on a wooden platform. You could not miss it, but we knew it was Holy Spirit that came in. In fact, to tell you how bad it was, Judy, my wife, said, if it hadn't have been my son, I would have called for the ushers to come up and remove him. But we were experiencing on that day a tremendous outpouring of Holy Spirit. And we didn't leave that day till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we finally were able to leave. Because you know, and you said it before, Holy Spirit is God. And He's huge. He's mighty. When He comes in, you know it. It's unmistakable. And on that day, He came in. And it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when we got to go home. And I began to practice a principle that I didn't know about then. Some of the intercessors came and said, can we come back tomorrow night, Monday night, to pray? I said, why, sure. We came back and there was another tremendous move of Holy Spirit. He came down among us. And I know He's here, and I know He's here today. His manifest presence is here today. But He came on that Monday night again and we said, oh, this is God. It was breathtaking. It was God. Then they said, can we come back tomorrow night on Tuesday night and pray again? I said, why, sure. And on Wednesday night, we came back for our regular Bible study, and I asked the Lord, if this is really a move of You, on this Bible study night, would You come in again mightily? And He did. There was a principle that I didn't understand that I understand now, and it was one that many of us have talked about, but we made room for God to come in. And that's what we did on Monday night. God, would You come in again? Then we said on Tuesday, God, would You come in again? And He kept on coming. This lasted for several years. It was such an outpouring. We had people, and people still say this about us, and maybe there's a little truth in it, but they said, you're out of your mind. And I said, yes, I am. I'm guilty. I found the mind of God, and I found the experience of God, and it was transforming me and all the people around us who were experiencing it.
Now, this was a continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit for several years, and God made a statement to you. I'm going to quote you. God said, I'm quoting God, do not allow the fire to go out.
What He said on that afternoon, because our services usually didn't end, our Sunday morning services did not end till about 2 o'clock. And when I would leave on that afternoon, and on most afternoons, I would say, Father, are You pleased with today? And He says, yes, but not with You. That got my attention. I said, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble here, God. And He told me, I did not call you to be a superstar quarterback in this move that we're doing right now. He said, I didn't call you to be a super anointed MVP pastor. He said, I called you to lead what I'm doing, and I've called you to put a guard around what the Spirit's fire is doing. And then He brought me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, and we say it like this, quench not the Spirit. But another interpretation of that is, do not allow the Spirit's fire to go out. And He made such an impression on me. I still operate. I put a guard around what Holy Spirit is doing. Even today, even in this house right here, I put a guard around what Holy Spirit is doing. I say, I'm not afraid of wildfire, but we will not permit strange fire. And taking that attitude has kept me flexible before God. It's kept me where God can, I'm pliable before God, that He can do what He wants to, and I do my best to follow that. And we've got a great team of leadership that does that also. God has been so great to us.
What about you? Has God been great to you? Have you made him your Savior to save you from your sins? There's no human thing you can do to get rid of your own sins. You're stuck with them throughout all of eternity unless you know the blood of Jesus has washed them away to the point that every bad thing you've ever done is erased from your book of life. There's a personal book of life with your name on it, and it's being erased if you say, I repent of my sins. But the next step is you make him your Savior and your Lord.
Yeah.
Without being Lord of all, you don't know God this side of heaven. It's time to make him your Savior and Lord. Repeat this prayer out loud. Mean it to the best of your ability, out loud. Even if you said it before, let today be a fresh new beginning for you. Repeat after me. Dear God, I've made many mistakes. I'm so sorry. I believe your blood washes away my sins. Thank you so much, Jesus, for dying for me. And I am clean. And now that I'm clean, thank you for saving me from my sins. I make you my Lord. Lord Jesus, come and live inside of me. Amen. Okay. Argentinian revival. You pray, and I'm getting in on this one. But look in the camera and pray for everyone to get the... Hey, studio audience, this is for you. It's not just looking at what we're saying. It's receiving. You want the Argentinian revival? I thought so.
Great God Almighty, creator of this universe, and yet you know each one of us individually. You know us. And I say today, Lord, that which you have poured out upon us in times past, do not let it be an experience that we talk about. Let it not be a historical and something that's in our history that we talk about. But come in today, baptize us afresh and anew with the Holy Ghost and fire. God, would you come in on all the people who are watching and listening and participating today? And Holy Spirit, would you bring revival fire into our lives that captivates us, that transforms us, that causes everything around us to become new again? God, we trust you. Holy Spirit, come in. Jesus, baptize us afresh in the Holy Ghost and fire. Yes. This moment. Father, you said you would send the power. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Send your power today. Holy Spirit, do not let us remain like we are, but change us according to your purposes so that the kingdom of God advances and advances mightily. We partner with you and we say, come in and do what you want to. Come in and do what you want to in my life. Come in and do what you want to with all those who are watching today. Transform us again. Keep on coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, in fact, I would encourage you, if you where you can, just raise your hands in expectancy, in faith of what Holy Spirit is doing now. You've been wanting the miraculous touch of God. You've been wanting the Father's heart. You've been wanting His love in your life. This is the day that He has made for you. This is your day that you can experience the power and the might and the revival Spirit of God into your life. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.